Hey, I'm Savannah.
And I'm Adi, and we're the Pulidos.
We're here talking about simplifying our life, growing and loving our family, and learning about the world.
And today we're talking about Hispanic Heritage Month. Welcome to episode 51.
Actually, we should start this episode the way we ended the last one. No, but really, welcome.
Welcome, everybody. That is Blue's Clues saying hi in Spanish.
Yes.
And here's Blue's Clues saying hello in English.
The name is not Blue's Clues. The name is Blue.
Sorry. Blue.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's Blue saying hello in Spanish again. Hear the difference?
Do it again. English? Spanish.
I can't keep it. No, that's Blue being a little scared.
Oh, yeah.
Petrified.
Yeah.
Here's one being confused.
What in the world? That was confusing. Wow. That's very funny. Wow, you cracked yourself up.
Yes. I thought about that joke last week, but I was like, it was way too late. After we stopped recording, I was like, oh, should I say that? Because anyway.
That's funny.
Well, welcome to episode 51.
Let's talk about the past week, shall we?
A lot has happened, mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. You want to go first?
Sure. Well, okay. So I was trying to think, wait, have we talked about this? But we haven't, because when we were recording last week's episode, shortly after we recorded that, we got a phone call We got a phone call from a certifier.
Yeah.
At DHS, one of the after hours certifiers.
Yeah.
And she was asking us if we were able to have a child come here for the weekend, because kind of what happens is sometimes it happens where on a Friday night, if there's a child who needs a placement,
yeah,
then that can be obviously kind of difficult because there are people working, you know, during the weekend, but it's obviously more limited and it can just be kind of tricky, especially when like that child's specific social worker isn't usually working on the weekends.
Yeah.
So it can just be tricky. Anyway, so we ended up saying yes.
Yeah.
And he ended up being with us for more than the weekend. He was here from Friday night until Wednesday evening.
Yeah.
So it was about 5 days.
Yeah.
And it was really great.
Yeah, it was.
He is such a great kid. And we're just not able right now to do long-term
fostering. Yeah.
And so we were able to help for like the weekend, which turned into longer.
Yeah.
But it was really fun. Like he's such a fun kid. So yeah, you want to talk about like what we did during that time?
Yeah, totally. We went to the park. The park closest to us has a water fountain, and that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That was our first time just watching our kid do that.
So it was kind of like it's like a mini like splash pad, I think is what they call it.
Yeah. And there's like buttons.
Yeah.
You press that and then water comes out of the fountain or from the sides. And it was pretty cool to watch him do that.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty warm on that day.
Yeah.
And he insisted on wearing his like vest, a little like puffer vest over his t-shirt.
Yeah.
So he was like running around in the water in his little puffy vest.
Yeah. We did that. Then we went to the movies the next day.
Mm-hmm.
We watched Puppy Pals. No, sorry. Not Paw Puppy Patrol. Pals. Paw Patrol.
Yeah.
The movie.
It was very cute. And he loved it.
Yeah.
He was so excited about going to the movies too.
Yeah. He was very into also Nintendo Switch, playing the Switch a lot.
Oh, yeah. That was his favorite thing.
And so we played a lot with him and that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big motivating item.
Yeah.
Just to have. So that was pretty nice. Yeah, so we just stuck around, hung out, went to the store, a couple, simple things, just having a good time with them. And
yeah,
you know, a little sad for sure. It was, mm-hmm. it was sad, you know, it's always sad to say goodbye.
Yeah.
But, yeah, hopefully, you know, all is well with him and with the new place and everything. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's one of those things where it's like right now it's hard to do some foster care, but, we did what we could mm-hmm. and, you know, it's hard to say no, when you get the call.
Yeah, it right? is really hard.
But, we're excited to continue fostering once after Oregon.
Yeah.
Because we were planning to move out of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, it was great. It was a good little experience with him and it was enjoyable.
Yeah. I was going to say one thing about one funny moment.
Yeah.
We were taking him to an appointment and he was the person like who was there came out who he knows. And he was like, oh, he wanted to introduce us. And he was like, oh, this is Sarah and Audie.
Yeah. You never really got your name right.
Not quite.
I was so surprised he got my name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And he actually, he had a stuffed otter that was named Audie.
Yeah, that's true. So that's probably why that my name stuck.
Yeah. He did mess up your name a lot, though. Sometimes he would call you Obby.
Yeah.
He was, he would, usually when he was talking to me, he would refer to you as Obby. He was like, where's Obby?
Obby. Goodness. He was also pretty funny.
Yeah. Oh, so funny.
Very entertaining. He would like, he would sing, he would dance, and he knew that if we thought that was funny, he would continue doing that.
Oh, yeah.
And he did certain little things like that. So it was pretty, pretty cool.
Uh-huh. But yeah, it was obviously very emotional. It always is, but it was a great, great week, almost mm-hmm. week.
Mm-hmm. Probably, so, yeah. Yeah, almost, yeah. So my last thing I wanted to talk about that happened this week. One time we were driving in Salem, and you're better at explaining things or describing things, actually. So I want you to describe what happened. So I was driving, and then this car and the guy in the car. So go ahead. The guy in the car, me, us in the car.
Which one? Because a bunch of things happened that day.
The guy that gave me a little special
okay,
finger.
Okay. So what happened was, yeah, we were leaving Salem and boy, this is going to be a little bit hard to describe, but not that hard, I guess. So
everybody close your eyes.
Close your eyes.
As Savannah's explaining this. and let me know if you could picture that.
Okay. So we're on a smallish street. So it's not like a big highway. But it's not like a two-lane road. It's kind of like mm-hmm. a smaller size like city street.
Yeah.
And the road that we're on,
uh-huh.
it has two lanes
mm-hmm.
on our side, like two lanes going one way. And up ahead, like quite a bit ahead, there is a traffic light.
Yeah.
Now, we were in the right-hand lane.
Yes.
In the left-hand lane, there was a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
And we do not go to this area very often.
Yeah.
And so we had no idea that up ahead, the right lane was going to end.
Yeah.
But we, like, right, shortly before we get to the stoplight.
Yes.
So we had no idea.
Yeah.
So you were already in the right lane. And then you were like, oh my goodness, there's a ton of traffic in the left lane.
Yeah.
And then we just keep going and we realize as we're getting closer to the front, oh, the right lane is ending.
Yeah.
So at that point, there was nothing you could do. The traffic in the left lane was pretty much stopped.
Yeah.
And so the only thing you could do was keep going up to the front mm-hmm. and then wait for somebody to let you merge in.
Yeah.
Now, as that was happening, I'm sure you were thinking this because I was thinking it.
Yeah.
That's definitely a rude thing to do,
right?
If you're aware of it,
yeah.
To just be like, "Oh, there's all this traffic over here." So I think basically, I should have explained this. So the right lane, there was an option to like turn right.
Yeah.
But then it wasn't a right turn only.
No.
If it was a right turn only lane, you would have just turned right and then,
yeah.
obviously redirected.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a right turn only, but it was there so that if you needed to turn right, you could. And then after that, that's when the lane then merged with the left
mm-hmm,
lane.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, if you're familiar with the street, then the polite thing to do would be to just get into the left lane because you know that that's where you're supposed to be going.
Yeah.
But you didn't know that.
No.
So anyway, we get up there and it's awkward, but obviously somebody let us in.
Yeah.
And then we like drive forward a little bit and then there's the stoplight up there. And at the stoplight, we were turning left.
Yeah.
So you get into the, like the left turn lane and a person who was like two cars behind us.
Yeah.
Is going straight. So he comes around like the right side of us.
Yeah.
And then go ahead.
And then he has his window rolled down and he puts his hand out and gives me the middle finger
mm-hmm.
and drives straight.
Yeah.
And first I was a little confused because I was like, wait, well, this car wasn't behind me.
Right.
He was maybe a couple cars, you know, behind me. I don't know.
But he saw you.
But I guess he saw me do this.
Yeah.
And he just drives and, you know, with his hand out and drives away.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't upset. I was upset at the fact that like I was frustrated with you because you didn't see it, I guess.
No, I didn't see it.
And so I was explaining it to you.
Yeah.
You know, like what happened, and Beth told you like, well, he wasn't behind me though. He must have been like a couple of cars behind the other car that was behind me. So we were like just not understanding each other.
Right.
And so I was getting frustrated because I was like trying to tell you like this guy, like we should be mad at this guy. Mm-hmm. And so that in a way distracted me from being upset.
Because you're just upset with me instead of with him.
Yeah. But I mean, I wasn't like that annoyed or like upset at you. Like,
I know.
It was more like just like, okay.
Yeah.
You're not getting it. But then at the end you did.
Mm-hmm.
And so we worked it out right away.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I feel kind of whatever about this.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't know. And it's just, he just assumed, right?
Right.
And I guess you could easily assume that I was being rude, right?
Yeah.
By cheating the system, right? And,
yeah.
And merging at the end. So that happened.
Yeah.
And
it's just one of those things where you didn't know, like you had no idea, and it wasn't illegal.
No.
Like you were following the traffic rules. Yeah. It was just that it was obviously inconsiderate if it had been done on purpose.
Right.
But yeah, so it was just a little ridiculous.
Yeah. So that happened, and then I think later that day, we get home, and somehow, some way, I pull up my phone, and I'm just scrolling through some stuff on my Google Chrome, like, just browser thing, and then there's some articles down underneath the browser.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm, like, daily just articles about news and whatever, and guess what article popped up?
What?
It was one titled, "Guess Which Oregon City Has the Rudest Drivers in the State?" And I was like, oh, is my phone
that's
listening?
That's weird. Yeah.
And it was recently posted on September 14th
of interesting. This year.
Yeah. So super recent.
Yeah.
A little scary, but I was very interested. I read it anyway. Yeah. But anyway, so I have it right here.
Okay. So what is it?
The rudest city in Oregon. You want to guess?
Rudest driver?
Yes. So let me read this brief little thing here. It says, so it's based on applications from car insurance, and says applications require drivers to disclose their city of residence and any prior driving violations.
Okay.
The analysis looked specifically at failure to yield violations, failure to stop violations, improper backing, which I'm not sure what that means, passing where prohibited, tailgating, street racing, and hit and runs.
Okay.
So, I think this like rude gesture that this guy did, I don't think it qualifies as this, but
well, no.
But anyway, so based on that, according to that analysis, Salem drivers,
no way,
are the rudest.
Really?
Yeah.
In the whole state. Wow, yeah. That's crazy.
Salem, Oregon, and that's where we were.
Yeah.
Where that incident happened.
That's funny and crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that rating also put Salem among the rudest of the nation's cities. Here's how some of the rudest cities in other states ranked. So it's based on this like ranking of like Salem got 47.31 per 1,000. I'm not sure what that means, but here's like other cities that are like, the reading.
Okay.
So in California, Rancho Cordova, shout out to you, 65.37%. 65.37 per 1,000.
So that's ruder then, right?
Yeah. And then another to compare, Georgia, Hampton, 62.35 per 1,000. And then here's other ones, Idaho, Pocatello, 52.80 per 1,000. Yeah, so.
Wow.
That's a lot. And then, so according to this analysis also, here's some that are like the nicest or the most polite drivers.
Okay.
And they're in Somerset, Kentucky, Corbin, Kentucky, and Rio Rancho, New Mexico.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So those are the places you will meet the most polite drivers in the U.S.
You know what that reminded me of?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we first moved here and we went to that Home Depot and you ran inside to buy something and I was sitting in the car?
I think so.
And there was this really big truck parked next to me. So I was sitting in the car in the passenger seat just waiting for you to come back out of Home Depot.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there like looking at my phone and all of a sudden the whole car is like rocks back and forth abruptly. And obviously we were like, I was parked with the car off.
Yeah.
It was so weird. And I like look up, kind of freaked out. And the guy in driving this massive truck who was parked next to us, just like his wheels were just like not turned. They were just not straight as he started backing out.
Yeah.
And so he just backed his truck like right into our car and the whole car was like shaking. And I was so freaked out and I got out and I was like, what is going on? And so he was very apologetic and stuff. And then anyway, then you came out and we like got his information and stuff and it was fine. But that was just so weird because I was like totally parked. And the fact that I was in the car just made it so bizarre.
Yeah. But it was good you witnessed that though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get down to the nitty gritty.
What's the funniest, like, so I know that you grew up watching a lot of movies in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's like the funniest sort of translation, like, between like when you then saw the movie later in English, like what was like, are there any funny like translations? You know what I'm saying?
Funniest translations.
Like.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll give you an example. This is not that funny at all.
Go ahead.
But I noticed when I was watching
Monsters, Inc.
Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know. I knew that that's what you were thinking about.
Yeah.
Because you said that to me before.
Right.
Go about.
Do you want me to tell the people?
Yeah. Whoa.
You were acting like you were cutting me off. Like, no, I already know what you're saying.
You must stop.
We're making a podcast here. There's other people listening.
Be professional.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So when we were watching Monsters, Inc. in Spanish,
yeah.
I know you already know this
because
you really wanted to drive that point home. So if you've seen the movie, you know that there's the monster who gets a child's sock stuck on him.
Oh, yes.
And they have like these guys in hazmat suits come in and they yell 2319. We've got a 2319
code. Yeah. That's code.
Yeah. That's like the code that there was a child's, you know, like object on the monster and they have to like sanitize him, shave him.
Yeah.
Strip him down. And, when we were watching it in Spanish, I just noticed that the, it was a different number.
Yeah.
It's not really that funny at all.
No, it's not funny, but, sorry, I didn't mean to be rude. No, because your question was, is there a funny translation?
I know, and it's not funny. I was just saying, like, that's something I noticed, how it was different.
Yeah, I know. I think the one that just stands out is Harry Potter. So the first Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone or the Sorcerer's Stone movie, I saw it in Spanish. And for a long time, I didn't really watch it in English until, I don't know, like when I was in college or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all in Spanish, and that's it for one word. That Harry says, and he says muggle in English.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah, he doesn't say that in Spanish. But he says, like, so it's funny because Obviously, it's all dubbed in Spanish, and so the lips don't, the mouth doesn't match the words I hear. And then when he says muggle, it's just like, it was just like copied and pasted from the original movie. Or it was just, I guess, it just laughed, I guess.
Wait, from so the original movie. You're telling me that it was like Daniel Radcliffe's voice?
Yeah, Harry Potter's voice, yeah.
So they didn't use the voice actor?
No, no, and you could tell. It goes from like, you know, in Spanish, blah, blah, blah. It says muggle. Like,
really?
It was super out of like just nowhere. It didn't seem like it didn't sound the tone and everything. It was just so different. It was so off.
That is so interesting because obviously it makes sense because muggle is not a real word. So it makes sense why they didn't have a translation for it.
But not even like to bother to say it in with a Spanish accent.
Yeah.
And so for so long, I didn't know what that word was. I thought it was just like a sound, like a gasp or like a or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But no, it was muggle and I didn't know. And so after going, so I watched it, you know, just years later and just kept thinking about that. And it's like, well, that's funny that they just left that in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is very interesting.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's so weird, huh?
Huh.
Yeah. Speaking of Monsters, Inc., that movie, I like how the Boo, I like how she says, refers to Sully, not Sully.
Yeah, Sully.
Sully as Gatito.
Oh, yeah, because she calls him Kitty.
Yeah. Or the monster calling... No. Boo says Kitty.
Yeah, yeah, Kitty.
But in Spanish, it's Gatito.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that is very cute.
Yeah.
Gatito. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so speaking of VHS, well, I mean, all these movies, I watched them in VHS form, and they were all
Harry Potter? Spanish. No.
Yeah. I had Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings.
On VHS?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Harry Potter, Monsters, Inc., Toy Story 2, a bunch of other movies, Gladiator, and they were all either dubbed in Spanish or in subtitles in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the first like English movie that like we had and owned, but it was like years later after, I don't know, my elementary school years.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool just to watch stuff in Spanish and then not see the original like English form of that movie until years later. Like, I think the first time I watched Monsters, Inc. in English was with you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like 4 years ago or so. And that was pretty, it's just bizarre. Because I was so used to just hearing everything in Spanish and to hear the voice actors, you know, in English. I was like, that sounds just so bizarre. It doesn't sound like the thing that I was used to.
Yeah, because obviously you heard those characters having different voices. So it seemed like that was their voice.
Yeah. I'm glad we're talking about this because this whole month, starting from September 15th to October 15th, we have... We're celebrating the Hispanic Heritage Month. It's this awareness, you know, whole time. We have, what is it, 30 days or so?
So
to dedicate to, what?
Sorry, is that what, I knew it started on the 15th. Does it go through October 15th?
Yeah.
Oh, it does. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
It does. Yeah. So a whole month to just kind of recognize, acknowledge the Hispanic, you know, just heritage and the culture and history that it has created in America.
Yeah.
And just like, I'm just thinking about like my life and the way that I lived our, you know, my life, how it's different than yours, right? Like if you think about just like as little as like movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Like I watched everything in Spanish and it was so weird to me listening to things in English later on. In my adult life, and just so many things. Like if you think about, if you were to open your kitchen cabinets and your pantry, and we would have different foods if we were to go back to our like childhood kitchen, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I know that you had a question for me.
Well, yeah, my question it was going to be like, it would have made more sense if I had asked it first, but then I just thought about the question about the
movies.
And so my question was
just or is?
Yeah, sure is. My question is.
Yeah.
My question is, what does Hispanic Heritage Month mean to you?
Oh, cute. No, I appreciate that. For so long, it just didn't really mean anything to me, to be honest. It's one of those things where it's like, well, okay, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Like, am I supposed to expect people to, like, come to me and say, hey, I appreciate you?
Well, it's not appreciation.
It's not.
It's Hispanic Heritage Month.
Right. But it's like, well. But
yeah, I guess that makes sense. Yeah, it's like appreciate. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, I had to Google it and figure out what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, are we supposed to appreciate? Are we supposed to give shout-outs to Latino, Latina people? So I was really unaware of this.
Mm-hmm. You didn't even know it was a thing, did you?
I don't think so. I mean, I think in school, I think, like, especially in high school, I think, realized, like, oh, yeah, this is a thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And we're going to dedicate this whole month we're going to emphasize certain things. We're going to have certain events, you know, specific themes dedicated to Mexicans, to Latinos, Hispanics. And in a way, like, it was pretty easy because, like, the majority of my classmates were Latinos as well. So yeah, it wasn't that, like, hard or, like, special, you know?
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
But it was still, I think we took that time to acknowledge, you know, just the important people in our lives, like Cesar Chavez. Which actually, I thought about this the other day when we did the Day in the Fields mm-hmm. episode. And I was just reminiscing about a picture that my great uncle had or has still. And I saw this like when I was a kid or, I don't know, adult or whatever, or a youngling, I don't know.
Can I just point out that that's one of those things that you always, that I've noted that you always do?
What?
Where you say two opposite things and act like they're almost the same. So you said, said when I was like a kid or, you know, an adult or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I just don't know. Yeah, but then usually what you're saying, it literally means nothing because you're saying both of the options.
Yeah, it's true. When I was a being at some point
in the past. Yeah, when I was a human.
Some time ago. How about that?
Okay.
Some
time ago. That works. Anyway, no. Go on.
But anyway, years ago. There you go. I came across this picture that I saw in that family's house, right?
Wait, this is your uncle?
This is my uncle, great uncle.
Okay. Yeah.
My grandpa's brother.
Okay, and is he the one that you worked with in the field?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that family, right? Like extended family, right? They had a picture of another of my granddad's brothers
mm-hmm.
that he passed away. It was him right next to Cesar Chavez. And along with other people.
Oh, wow.
You know? So pictures like certain like movies where there, it's like maybe a spy movie where the villain's taking a picture with like important people, like the president or another person, you know? I was just thinking about like Black Widow. We saw Black Widow.
Yeah.
In the opening credits, it's like that rich like villain person.
Oh, yeah.
Taking pictures with famous people like Bill Clinton, other like influential people.
Okay.
Right. And so it depicts like, oh, this person's like, it's just like a typical like scene from a different, like a movie where you see like you go into this person's house and you see all these like pictures of like, oh, this person's very successful because he's next to the president.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So
yes.
But anyway, so I kind of felt like that. It's like, what? Like, how is this possible?
Yeah,
you know, like
that's very
how
cool.
Why, yeah, like what happened here?
Yeah.
And I think it was in Salinas, I think, during the time that he was alive and having this movement, you know, to get rights for people like that work in the fields, right? Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense that way. So to think about that, I'm thinking about like my family, right? Again, going back to people that work in the fields,
mm-hmm.
Again, right? Like I think that it's looking at that picture, I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And to kind of think about that, it's like, wow, like I know someone that knew Cesar Chavez,
mm-hmm.
you know, and for those people that don't really are not familiar with who that person is, like he was fighting for human rights for people like the field workers, for them to have a better like rights, you know, and to be treated properly.
Okay.
And so it had a lot to do with like agriculture, like workers. And mm-hmm. so he gathered all the people and for them to have like a proper like act to be signed and everything. And so, yeah, he stood up for that. And he was the face of that,
mm-hmm.
That movement.
Yeah.
back in the day. And so anyway,
there's actually, I think, a Cesar Chavez school like in Salem.
Yeah. I was going to say there's definitely schools named after him.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But yeah, going back to, oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, yeah, I'm very familiar with the name, but yeah. I really didn't know that much, about him at all.
Yeah.
Did he go on to become like, I thought for some reason in my mind, I equated that name with like a political figure, like that he was like a governor or something like that.
No. Like he made a big impact in this world, like agricultural world, the workers and everything and companies and stuff. So yeah, I don't think he ever did that.
Okay. I must be confusing that. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So that picture was pretty cool. And going back to like high school and just my whole years in Salinas, I think that again, felt like I felt like special, you know, or felt like there was a big importance of being like Latino and stuff. And until I think later on when going to college and seeing different people from different cultures and races and ethnicities and it made me really realize like, you know, like just this proudness of being Latino, being brown is out there. It's real. And that's when I started realizing like, yeah, actually I do want to be aware of like my heritage of my people, my race, and to realize like the history and that people like Cesar Chavez has made in America,
yeah.
You know, in Salinas and in California and just across the nation. So yeah, going back to your question, hopefully I answered it. Like
I think
at first it just didn't really mean anything at all, you know, but just because I wasn't aware of like just the impact of people like other Latinos have made, you know, I think that now I see the great value of having a dedicated month to look back.
What would you say are like a few things that you, a few of kind of the biggest like things from Hispanic culture and like your Hispanic heritage that you would want to like hold on to and like sort of pass on, which I'm sure that there are lots, but like what are some of like the biggest things that you're like, this is really valuable that you would say like, this is something I really want to like preserve?
Right. Yeah. The first thing that comes to mind is food. And I think that especially in my house, and I think if based on other just stories and stuff, I think that it's very common in households, like Mexican households, to just pass along certain like recipes and stuff, but not like they're not really fully written. Mm-hmm. They're more like just vocalized, and there's no actual measurements. It's more like here's a pinch of this and a handful of this and that, and you'll have to eyeball it. And I would like to write down as much as I can of the recipes that, like even the simple things like how to like cook, how to cook beans, how to make Mexican rice.
Yeah.
As I like to call it, rice, how to cook all these things, right? So I like to pass along those and to make these foods here and for like our kids, people to come into our house for them to have authentic food, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's one for sure that we could do. And I think it's pretty cool because that just like certain recipes are just, you know, are only found in specific households, right? It's like how to make a certain way of this and that. And I think it's pretty cool to have that. And you could actually like touch it and smell it and eat it. Mm-hmm. And there's just a story within that, you know? And so I think it's pretty wonderful to have that and to have like a book of like, here's the recipes that my mom, my grandma has made, you know, and pass it along to our kids. And stories as well. Like I think the more the more the podcast we episodes we do, the more I think about, well, like, I would like to preserve all these memories, like going back to Harry Potter, like, you know, Dumbledore taking that, like, his memory and dumping into this, like, what do you call that?
The Pensieve. The
Pensieve, right? Like, just taking all these memories and you could just look back at them. And so I'm thinking about, like, well, how could we do that to, like, our families and to hear all these stories and to not forget them, but mm-hmm. to remember them? Like, you know, just having videos and audio clips of certain things, but like having a way where, like, just finding a way to go back to them with ease, not with like difficulty, you know, yeah. and digging through certain things, but just having it there and, mm-hmm. and permanent, you know. So I think stories are something that I'd like to definitely pass along, and the struggles for sure. I think struggles and the experiences, the lessons learned, I think those are also something that I would like to pass along. And I think going back to the whole, again, right, the day in the fields episode, I think that, like, I'm so glad that I ended up doing that. And so then I can now, like, pass along to that to our kids. And I would even also, like, encourage them, you know, to learn about that and to, like, see it for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think just the way that it goes back to just my dad and my mom as well, by just hearing all these lessons that they taught me, like, it's not just because they're Mexican, it's just because they're my parents, mm-hmm. but I really enjoyed these conversations we would have. Like, it would go from after dinner all the way to, like, pretty late at night, and it'd be just the three of us talking about just life and mm-hmm. consequences about certain things and what to do in certain situations and all these, like, just metaphors and stuff. And I really enjoyed that. And even while I was talking to them, I was like, I would love to have this with my children. Mm-hmm. And it might not be a Mexican thing, but, like, regardless of it, if it is or not, like, I would like to carry that on and yeah. pass along to my kids and to pass along, like, my dad, my mom in that way. Mom and dad are one of the hardest working people I've ever met because of what they do, right? Mm-hmm. And it's pretty insane. So I think that work ethic is pretty important. And, you know, it's pretty cool to be proud of that and to see yeah. that in my family and, you know, and also to see that in other people, like going back to the day in the fields, right, episode, just seeing people go through, like, hard stuff and mm-hmm. at work. And so I think that's something that I'd like to pass along to our kids and also invite them to, like, have jobs like that or, you know, at the beginning and to see that for themselves, you know. Mm-hmm. Also just enjoying life, I think, is also another thing that message that my parents have painted and demonstrated and led through their own lives, and just having fun.
Yeah.
And to, you know, be positive and to just, like, dance, you know, and mm-hmm. go to parties and have fun in a healthy way, in a good way, a positive way. And so I think that's something that is pretty cool about us Latinos, is that it's, you know, we know how to party, we know how to bring yeah. bring a piñata, you know, to a birthday party, and that just makes a party for us, you mm-hmm. know. And as standard stuff, pinning the tail on a donkey and the jump house, and, like, there's, if you were to drive around, like, certain, like, Latino communities, you would see the jump house pretty much, like, every time.
Oh, really?
There's a party. And oh yeah, so just stuff like that, birthday cake, a themed one, and piñata, and just all these little things. And so something that I definitely want to do, and mm-hmm. having a family focused, like, atmosphere, you know, just yeah. it's all about family. And yeah, I think my parents have done a good job with that, and so really would like to carry that on.
Yeah, speaking of the, like, the family focus and, like, family atmosphere, you know, I remember being so struck by something, and I don't want to also speak to this like I know what I'm talking about, yeah. and I don't want to conflate, like, what's Mexican culture versus what's just your family culture. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. regardless, you know, whatever it is. Like, yeah, this was something that was very, like, just impactful to me was, I remember us going to visit your dad while he was in the hospital, and I was just blown away by the way that, like, your family showed up. And
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how to describe it because, I mean, I know how to describe it, like, physically what I was seeing, but
yeah,
I think people throw around that term of, like, showing up. Like, I think people say that a lot. Like, oh yeah, these people really showed up for me.
Yeah.
These people really showed up for me. And I think that can mean a lot of different things, and it depends on the context and stuff, but it's like, there's, and being in that moment, I was like, this is the clearest picture I've ever seen in my whole life of what it looks like to show up for somebody.
Yeah.
Because they were, they literally just showed up. Like, they were just there. They weren't leaving. Mm-mm. Like, it, and it was such a big group of people. Mm-hmm. Like, I was so, you know, shocked by that.
Right.
Like, it was like the whole waiting room was filled with just your family.
Yeah.
And that's not an exaggeration.
No.
And then, you know, we crammed as many people as they would let us to in the actual hospital room when it was time, and people would go in shifts, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's like, that was unprecedented in my mind. Mm-hmm. Like, I have never seen anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously at the time there was a lot going on, and so I didn't like, I wasn't obviously like focused fully on thinking about that, but just thinking about it later, and I think a little bit also as it was happening, I was like, this is just, I've just never seen anything like this before. Mm-hmm. And so that was very, very impactful to me to just see that. And like, I don't know, it was just the act of like, of just being physically there. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the time there was nothing that anybody could do.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, I mean, most of the people were spending the majority of their time just in the waiting room because you could only have so many people in the hospital room.
Right. Yeah.
But just that act of like physically being there, it was just so powerful. And anyway, so that was just something that, you know, I think for your family, like, it seemed very normal. Like, oh, this is just like what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Because this is what's going on. And so I think that whole like idea and mindset of like, oh, there's a problem going on, there's something going on, like, we're going to show up, is just really, really cool. And I think, you know, just like you talked about the idea, like the whole thing of parties and Mexicans knowing how to party. Like, I think that's similar. That's kind of like the other side of it. It's like, you know, showing up for people when there's something to celebrate too.
Right.
I know that a lot of times, I've only been to a couple, like family parties with you.
Yeah.
But I remember it's like, there were so many people there, and it's like, oh, this is just a family birthday party, you know? And that's the same thing. It's like, oh, you know, we're showing up. Like, it doesn't matter if it's like just this person, you know, this aunt that like, I don't see very often, but it's her birthday and everyone's going to be there, you know? And so, I think that that's really cool. And like the closeness of having so many people from your extended family that are all close enough that they can do that, like physically close enough, living, you know, nearby, is really neat. And then also just the willingness and just that kind of expectation that like everybody's going to show up, you know, like, I just think that's really powerful.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think you're saying that and sharing that because, like you said, I think it's hard for me to think about that because I have lived it and don't know any like better if like if this is something different, you know, or, and I remember the first time like flying from here to Salinas and seeing my dad, like, and I was welcomed by everybody in the waiting room, and literally like the whole waiting room was all of us.
Yeah.
And that's standard for like our family. And it could, you could say that that could be a like a standard Mexican thing. I'm not sure. Right. I haven't, I'm not sure if other people are like that, but in our family, that's how it has been. And it was pretty wonderful to do that with them. And, yeah, it's like expected for them to just wait and and with me and with us, and while we're just sitting there doing nothing, you know. And so every day there is like kind of a shift, like, okay, we're gonna visit that my dad at this time, and you know, people were showing up, and sometimes like my grandpa and my grandma would always want to be there every day, and people were just working out like, okay, when can we drop off my you know, my grandparents to the hospital, and who's gonna, you know, pick them up, and this and that. So yeah, it was pretty nice. And parties too, like I said, we have fun, and you know, and there's a lot of like kids too, so there's all these other, you know, birthday parties and stuff and celebrations and graduations and stuff to do, and I definitely want to carry that.
Yeah.
You know, the joy, like enjoying life and parties, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also just like also being there emotionally and physically for one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing, which again, I'm not sure if I've mentioned before, but another thing that has really stood out to me being around your family is the way that like people greet each other when like somebody comes into the room, the house or whatever.
Yeah.
It's with a handshake, which is obviously like, that's not super different from like white American culture.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that was surprising to me was how, again, I think kind of going back to like what I was saying about like showing up, it's like everybody is included. Like you,
yeah,
like it, like every, I feel like the way that it's done is so like everybody's included, and it just feels like everybody is so seen. Yeah. And I think that's why the first few times for me, I was kind of like thrown off a little bit, because it was like, oh, wait, me too? Like, oh, you're going to shake my hand? And I think it's because, and I mean, people can like correct me if you think I'm wrong about this, but my perception of like white culture is that men shake hands with each other.
Mm.
Adult men shake hands with each other.
Mm.
And sometimes like a man will shake a woman's hand. Women don't shake hands. And I feel like a man will sometimes shake a woman's hand, but not usually. It's usually like some other kind of greeting, like a hug or something different.
Yeah.
And so a handshake to me always seemed like such a masculine, like man to man type of a greeting.
Yeah.
And so I was always so shocked to see like somebody walk in the room and then like just shake hands with everybody, or like they're a person's about to leave the room and they will like shake hands with everybody from
they make rounds.
Yeah. Like literally make the rounds around the room. Make a line
pretty much.
Yeah. And it's like from, you know, from grandma all the way down to like the littlest child that's there.
Yeah.
You know, and I, again, the thing that like just struck me about that was how I was like, oh, everybody is like seen and everybody is included, and it doesn't matter like how old you are. It doesn't matter, like for me, it doesn't matter if you're white and you don't know what's going on. Like you're still seen and you're still like included. Yeah, it's like, well, no, you're part of the family. Like you belong here.
You are part of the family, Savannah. I think you're, I'm thinking about it as far as like my family, extended family. I think you're the only white person.
Yeah.
I think if you were to expand it to like past my aunts and uncles, I think like my mom's like cousins in that family, I'm sure there might be interracial marriages there.
Yeah, but as far as like within kind of the more local family, yeah.
Yeah, like siblings within my mom, and I think, you're definitely the only one.
I take that role very seriously.
Yeah, good, yeah. I apologize if I'm forgetting someone. Again, I'm sure there's someone. Yeah, but as far as like kind of our local, not local, but as far as like my mom's siblings, aunts and uncles.
Really? Now you're scared that you're forgetting.
Yeah, I am. I'm scared. Let's just say that you're
one of them.
One of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of X amount of people.
Let's just say there's not very many white people in the family.
Yes, exactly.
Could be one, could be a few.
Yes, yeah. But anyway, you were saying.
Number one, it was something that I was not expecting and I didn't know about. Nobody ever told me. Just kidding.
Yeah.
But and then number two is that as I got more used to it, I found it very like, it just made me feel like very like welcomed and accepted. And also just, it, I think to me, it just spoke to the value that is being placed on the whole family, like every member of the family.
Yeah, totally. Two things here. You think I should come up with a survival guide? Like how to, like, so you are dating or about to marry a Latino man.
I've seen some funny things online that I found like very relatable. But the one thing that has stood out a couple of times that I thought was very funny and relatable was about like dressing up. Like showing up to an event that like, oh, I was told this was going to be like a casual dinner. And it's like me, like this white person dressed in like sweatpants, like a t-shirt. And then it's like my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, and they were in like ball gowns practically. And I was like, that is relatable.
Yeah. And the last thing is normalize shaking hands. We gotta normalize shaking hands again.
That's good.
Yeah. But anyway, the shaking hands, it's been around for years, for generations. And it's one of those things that I got used to, you know, and shaking hands and kissing as a little kid, kissing my aunts and uncles' cheek. Mm-hmm. And then eventually came to just shaking the hand and touching each other's cheek and making a kissing sound. With your mouth. And so that's how it evolved to that. But it's cool. I like that. I definitely want to carry that, you know?
Which part?
The everything. Kissing the cheek and shaking hands to our kids. Mm-hmm. Make them shake hands. Kiss my mom's cheek. Mm-hmm. And eventually evolve into touching cheeks and making kissing sounds.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah.
But yeah, all that to say, you know, let's normalize checking hands and bringing piñatas to parties. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's a must. Like, that just, like, levels up your party, honestly. Levels up, yeah. Doesn't matter what you're celebrating.
Oh, I have a question about piñatas. Is it always just candy inside?
No, sometimes there's money, but most of the time it's candy.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought it was mostly candy, but then I thought that there was something about money.
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes, but no, mostly candy.
Okay.
Yeah, you're thinking about bolo when someone throws. Right, I know
that's different. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be with a piñata.
No, it's just with an adult. Getting on a chair and then throwing change and dollar bills to kids.
That's so funny. I love that.
Well, yelling bolo. Mm-hmm. I definitely want to carry that too.
What does that mean? Like, what's the literal translation of that? Do you know?
I don't know, but I know it means like money's being thrown at me, so I better go and get it. That's what it means to me.
Okay, that's what it means to you.
I better run and tackle anybody that's in my way.
Oh, you would too.
I would. No, hey.
I know you.
No, my mother raised me better. She would tell me not to do that again. Just kidding.
After the first time.
Yeah.
After the bloody nose.
Yeah. So those are good times, man. Just bolo, you know, and then waiting, forming a line to break the piñata from oldest to youngest or youngest to oldest. Mm-hmm. No, from youngest to oldest, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good times. Mm-hmm. But yeah, anyway, Hispanic Heritage Month is here, and I'm excited.
There's some merch at Target.
Really?
Yeah.
Like cocoa stuff or what?
No, it's, they have these like little t-shirts, and they even had them in like ones.
How little are they?
In like onesies for babies.
Oh.
But also like bigger sizes. I'm not sure if it was just for kids or if they had adult sizes too. But they're just like gray shirt. There's one that had a heart on it, and then on the inside it said Familia.
Cute.
And then there was another one that had like this green, like kind of, I don't know, like burst looking thing on it. Mm. And then on the inside it said Hola.
Cute.
Yeah. It was very cute in like a onesie form. I was like, oh, that's adorable. But anyway.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
And that's it.
That's cool.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Okay, I have one final question for you.
Go ahead.
How would you like to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month?
Right now or just in the future? No, not or like in this. America or like to us?
Like. No, like in our family. Like, is there anything that you would want to do during Hispanic Heritage Month to say like, okay, this is how we're going to observe it?
I haven't thought about this question. I love this question a lot, actually. Yes, I would like to observe it for sure with our kids. And.
But also, hang on. Before you finish, it doesn't have to be also with kids. It could just be also with the two of us because we are also a family.
I would like to do something, I think, you know, and mm-hmm. to for us to start doing this certain things and to, again, just have this month to reflect on it, you know, and to really think about the history mm-hmm. and the people and pass it along to our kids and to celebrate it and to observe it with them as well.
Yeah.
You know.
You know what I think we should get?
No.
What? I think we should get that. I'm not sure if it's Mexican or not. That like card game.
Loteria?
I don't know.
Loteria?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's what it's called.
Lottery. That translates to lottery.
And it has those like very old fashioned looking like it's pictures. It's like bingo? Yeah.
It's Mexican bingo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, we used to play with Mexican beans. We used to play with like pinto beans.
Oh, okay. Like dry beans.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
That would be our little like thing.
Marker.
Too. Marker, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should get that.
We should. Mm-hmm. We should get it now.
Yeah, and then we could, you could teach me how to play it.
Yeah, totally. That was the only game I play with my family. The only
really?
Board game I play with, yeah. My favorite one.
Really? Your favorite one. The only one.
The only one. Yeah. The only one.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is. I don't know, but I think that it should definitely involve the piñata and some churros to observe Hispanic Heritage Month.
Oh, a piñata?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then make our kids like do a PowerPoint slide of like what have they learned the whole month. It could be the last day. You know, what have you learned?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I have the idea of having our kids like do like slideshows about like just certain things. Like, okay, there's why
mm-hmm.
we want to go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's 10 facts about whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a PowerPoint about a PowerPoint.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway.
I found out there was an elote cart in our town and I really want some now.
Yeah. Again,
in a cup,
yes, yeah.
But I do want some.
Yeah, let's get some now.
Let's go. It's like midnight.
It is.
Also, one of the greatest things that you ever introduced me to was champurrado.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. Really good right now too.
Champurrado.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I gotta learn all these things too.
Like we made it once.
Actually, we did, yeah.
But it was, like, with your mom's assistance.
Yes.
And now we can't do it without her. We can't do this without you, Mom.
Exactly, because of the unwritten recipe, you know, we don't have one.
But isn't it, like, sacrilegious to, like, write it down? Isn't that part of it?
Oh, part of the whole, like, magic?
Yeah.
In a way. But it's silly, you know. I think we should have it.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
It's all in our heads, but come on.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have technology, so.
You should make an app.
I should. Yeah.
Right. You could have all like your generation and like younger, you know, Mexicans like ask their parents for the recipe for like a specific dish. And then people can submit it in the app and you can like compare and contrast like, oh, this many people said that they use like this ingredient, but oh, look, there's also this other like set of, you know, like families that do it this way.
Yeah. It's just, wait, are you saying just like for our family or like?
No.
For the world.
For the world.
That'd be cool.
No, so I'm saying like you could put this out there for any like Mexicans to like get these, their personal like family recipe. And then you can like see the different ways that people do it.
Wow. That's a cool idea. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay, go ahead. Copyright Savannah Pulido.
Trying to think of the name of the app. Like Mix Max. Mix Max Match. Oh.
It seems too much like Tex-Mex.
Ah. Mexipes.
I like that.
What about Mexipes?
That's good. That's pretty good. Mexipes. Mexipes. Like a centipede.
No, like recipes.
I'm just kidding. I know. Mexipes. Mexican Mexipes. Recipes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, everybody, that is the episode. We had a good time talking about Hispanic Heritage Month and what that means to us and to me. And same question goes to you. How are you celebrating this month? How are you observing Hispanic Heritage Month? We would love to hear your thoughts. Let us know on our social media and Instagram account at The Pulidos. And you could also email us at thepulidospodcast@gmail.com. So again, thank you so much for listening.
And as Oscar de la Renta says, your great strength is knowing who you are.
See you next time. Oh, by the way, everybody that I told to close your eyes when I told Savannah to describe what happened, open your eyes now. I'm sorry. I forgot to tell the people to open your eyes now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. This whole thing about this whole time, they're just waiting for me to say, you know, now you go open your eyes.
Wow.
By the way, did anybody really like picture shot for shot what Savannah was saying?
Oh, yeah, we didn't really talk about that.
Yeah, I'll send a picture of like where it was and everything.